Our first reading comes from 2 Peter chapter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honour and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but by men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So I think I'm at the wrong place. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up the high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make 3 dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone.
In the name of the living Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today is the one Sunday in our lectionary where we think about the transfiguration of Christ. And I wanted to find out what my dictionary said about the word transfiguration. And I was quite surprised, because first of all, it described transfiguration as a change in form. But then, in the normal secular dictionary, it adds applicable to the supernatural change experienced by Christ. And I thought, oh, the dictionary is getting a bit religious. Not often do we find a reference of that nature to Christ in the explanation. But let us think what it was about. There is many times that Christ is referred to as the Son of God. There are many times when it's explained to us his special status in our lives. But at the same time, It makes us think what we are about. Now, having looked at that explanation in the dictionary for the word transfiguration, I have to ask the question, where are we in this situation? One of the things of the Anglican Church, which I miss in Methodism, at every Sunday in our worship, we say together the Creed, usually the Apostles' Creed, or if we're feeling particularly enthusiastic, we have the Nicene Creed, which is a little fuller in its explanation. But having said that, and having assured each other in the saying and reciting of that creed, where do we go from there? Does it make any difference to our daily lives? Or is it just a matter of form in our worship? Now, in that dictionary explanation, it says transfiguration is a change in form. So I ask the question, does it make a change in our form, in our worship, in our practice, in our behaviour, and in any aspect of our lives? At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Christ. Does it make any difference to our lives in the coming year? We also, at Easter, after the period of Lent, we celebrate his resurrection. Does it make us different to the outside world? Or are we just the same? Now, the Transfiguration, which is perhaps a story that many of us have difficulty in reconciling to, the Transfiguration as experienced not by the disciples or us, but by Christ himself, that Transfiguration is an act given by God through Christ to magnify and qualify his supreme divinity. And the significant thing about that story is at the closing words, because it tells us that the disciples knelt down and Jesus lifted them from that position, and it was done to remind them of his divinity. But what did it do to his divinity? Well, if we look in our gospel reading, not just the one today, but in reading the gospels generally, it explained to us what Jesus' ministry is about. It explained to us what we should be about. It also shows us, when Jesus puts it, the way, the truth, and the life. Now, the way, the truth, and the life. So if someone asks us the question, what are we about? What is our faith about? The transfigured Christ shows us the way, the truth, and the life. But what do we do with it? Do we pass it on to the people we meet? Can people look at you and I and perhaps experience our own transfiguration? Because it is given to us by Christ himself. Now, that short reading we had from Peter's letter, that letter was obviously written after they had experienced that one which Christ had experienced. That experience was one not of a dramatic display, an action, but it was an experience of the heart and the mind and the face. And my favourite part of the New Testament are the letter of Peter's and the letter of James. Because if you read them slowly and carefully, they could have well been written yesterday, because they are more up to date than many of the theological readings we have from other quarters. It gives to us the strength and the will to part with our faith to other people. There is a saying given by William Temple that when someone asked him what the church was about, he replied, "The church is the only club which is there for the non-members. The church is there only for the non-members." How many of our non-members, which we've come across in our daily lives, understand what that means? I find it quite comforting on a Thursday afternoon after the prayers we have the open house. And what is the joy of the open house to me is that the majority of the people who are there enjoying our hospitality and company are not the ones we see on a Sunday. Open house is an illustration of the open heart giving hospitality and comfort. And what thrills me is the fact that these people who come, first of all, on most Thursdays, the majority of the people are men. And the second thing that serves me is the fact that they, with comfort and relax, to walk into this house of God in company of people. And to me, that is part of the wonderful gospel that Jesus gives to us. So, transfiguration, a change in form, an experience with Christ on that day. So I conclude with a simple question. When you think and examine your faith and your witness, have you experienced a transfiguration? And to do that, we have to do what we sing in the next hymn. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So that's your question for today. Have I been transfigured to face the world in the future? Amen.